Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's not unusual to hear Christians. You ask a Christian, "How are you saved?" They might even quote St. Paul, "By grace through faith. For Christ's sake alone." Do you believe that God's word is the sole source of all your teaching and your practice and of the Christian faith? Yes, Scripture alone. We hear it often, Christians say, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone. These are sometimes called the Reformation solas, that Latin word for alone. Well, have Christians always believed this? Have they always confessed this? I know we can find these things in St. Paul and in the New Testament, of course, and in the Old Testament, of course, as well. But what about the intervening years between Paul and the 16th century, where these things were formulated and articulated in the way that's so familiar to Christians today? Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone. Have Christians always believed them? We're going to be talking about that tonight during Issues Etc. The Early Church Fathers and the Reformation Solas, the truths of the Reformation, grace, faith, Christ, and Scripture alone. Our guest, Pastor Will Wheadon. We're coming to you live this Sunday night. It's the 11th of July. We invite your questions and your comments on this subject, the Early Church Fathers and the Reformation Solas, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Or, as usual, you can post a question or comment on our Issues Etc. forum. Go there by going first to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. The forum waits there for your questions and your comments this evening. Now, before we begin our discussion with Pastor Wheadon, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that is the church body of which both Pastor Wheadon and I are members, as well as many others, is meeting in St. Louis this week for its 62nd regular convention, one every 3 years, so you do the math. Today, the delegates reelected Dr. Gerald Kieschnick as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Pastor William Diekelman as first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's a little information for those of you who don't have instant access to what's going on in St. Louis on an evening like this. Our guest to talk about the Early Church Fathers and the Reformation Solas, Pastor Will Wheadon. He's a regular guest here on Issues Etc. You might remember him from our roundtable we did with others on the purpose-driven life. Pastor Will Wheadon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Will, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. What a joy to be with you guys tonight.
If we're going to be talking about the teachings and the writings of the Early Church Fathers, I want you to make the case first. Why we should be paying attention to what the Early Church Fathers wrote, and is there any admonition in Scripture itself to be mindful of what ancient Christians were writing and thinking and saying?
Yeah, I think there is. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 13, we come across a very beautiful passage, Hebrews 13, verse 7. The apostle wrote, "Remember your leaders who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And so there are witnesses to Jesus Christ throughout the centuries pointing us to him. And as we look at the witnesses, looking at Jesus Christ, pointing us to him, as we listen to what they say, we realize we're surrounded, as it says in Hebrews 12, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And all of these church fathers are very important witnesses. As we join the crowd with them, we see that they're all not focused on anything but Jesus. And they're trying to draw us in the same direction they're facing.
Let's talk about the authority that various segments of Christendom have given and give to the early church fathers.
Right.
Let's talk first about kind of the American evangelical context. Where do the church fathers fall in that mindset?
I think in that mindset, it's fairly safe to say they don't fall at all. They might know that they're there, but they certainly are usually ignored and not read and not studied and not taken seriously. In fact, I think they're often thought of as having been so far out in left field. The idea was, you know, when the Apostle John died, the church kind of went into some sort of hidden form, a hiatus, until the Reformation, something began to show life again. And that kind of a picture of the church just won't stand up to the tests of history itself. The great danger that it leaves you in is it ignores the biblical witness. We know for a fact that if we turn in our scriptures to 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter, he reminds us that Scripture, in verse 20, Scripture, no prophecy of Scripture is of anyone's private interpretation. And yet the great danger of American evangelicalism is that it's sort of the Bible and me, you know, off doing our own thing. And no one is ever in a position to say to another person, you know, that's not the biblical faith, because it's always you and your Bible alone.
So radically individualized,
the
Christian faith,
yeah,
among evangelicals. What about the Roman Catholic position on the Church Fathers? What kind of authority do they afford them?
Well, Rome actually affords them an enormous amount of authority. How do I put this? I'm trying to say this in a very kind way, and I'm not coming up with a good way of saying it. Rome affords the Church Fathers a great deal of authority on the paper. They'll say that. But Rome is not very well known for actually reading the content of what the fathers say and dealing with what they say. As we'll see when we talk about the Lutherans, were quite convinced from the beginning that they had the fathers on their side and that Rome did not have the fathers. And although Rome kept on crying, fathers, 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 Lutherans kept on saying, well, would you read them? And would you see what they say? And would you show us how they differ from what we're trying to say? But Rome, as far as its teaching authority goes, insists that the fathers form a source of theology that is discrete from the scriptures and sort of stands in parallel with it. Rome does not necessarily need something to be proven to them from the scriptures for them to insist that it be held as true.
What's the danger there? This misuse of the fatherly authority.
The huge danger is when it starts to... I'm trying to think of the way Hermann Zasa once put that. When the balloon of tradition comes untethered from the scriptures, it floats off way in the air and becomes so disconnected that you have things like the Roman Church decreeing the assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary bodily into heaven as a doctrine which every person must believe on, you know, for salvation. Well, of course, this is something that's not even mentioned in the pages of the sacred scriptures. Where does this come from?
Let's talk briefly about the other half of Christendom, the Orthodox position, be it Eastern or Russian, the Orthodox position on the fathers.
The Orthodox position bears similarities to Rome, but they are at the same time are much more cautious in the way that they speak of tradition. For example, an Orthodox priest that I've really enjoyed reading lately is named Father John Baer, and a friend of mine over the Internet turned me on to some of his writings. And Father Baer actually points to a very beautiful statement of St. Cyprian, second century father, who said, tradition without truth is merely the antiquity of error. Isn't that a beautiful quote? And so he challenges Orthodoxy itself to be sifting and evaluating their own tradition. He insists that tradition in its best sense is only intended to be the interpretation of Scripture, and when it fails at that, we have false tradition, not true tradition going on.
What is the proper, and I would be so bold as to say, what has been the Lutheran position?
The historic
position on the Church Fathers.
On the Church Fathers. If we go to our confessions, we find a number of very helpful things stated. First of all, in the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, in Article 26, Paragraph 95, the statement is very bluntly made. They were human beings who could err and be deceived. So the Lutheran Church delivers the Fathers from the burden of infallibility. We don't have to pretend that the Fathers always got it right. If you do that, you'll lose your mind, because the Fathers are what makes each Father really great is the thing he was fighting for the sake of the truth. And he makes other incidental statements. You have to excuse some of the things they say. Just like nowadays, you know, if someone's really fighting for some particular aspect of the truth, they may make casual statements about some other aspect that are incorrect. That's how the Fathers are treated there. Our Lutheran confessions also say, Other writings of ancient or contemporary writers, whatever their names may be, shall not be regarded as equal to the Scriptures, but all of them together shall be subjected to it and accepted in no other way or with no further authority than as witnesses of how and where the teaching of the prophets and apostles was preserved after the time of the apostles. Which sounds an awful lot like what we heard from Father Bear from the Orthodox perspective, too. One last quote that really exemplifies the Lutheran position from the beloved Martin Chemnitz, the great second Martin of the Lutheran Reformation. He wrote, "We love and venerate the testimonies of the ancient and purer church, by whose agreement we are both aided and confirmed, but our faith must rest on the word of God and not on human authority."
So can we summarize it with only about 20 seconds here before we take this break? Where the proper historic position on the ancient church fathers and what they had to say and what they wrote is, where they agree with Holy Scripture, then they are affirmed and welcomed and...
They are received as witnesses,
received
right?
as witnesses. Where they disagree, they can be and should be disregarded.
Disregarded, absolutely.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We'll get to that thought on the other side of the break. We're talking about the early church fathers and the Reformation truths. And when we come back, we're going to go through them. First of all, their scriptural basis. Where do we find in Scripture? If Scripture is the genuine authority by which everyone, including the fathers, will be judged, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, are these mere 16th century novelties, or can we find them in the testimony of faithful witnesses whom we call the ancient church fathers? Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer, check out page 8 of the latest Issues Etc. journal, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, Scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you. Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss the Ten Commandments. Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn will be our guest. Does God demand perfect obedience to His law, the Ten Commandments, or does God grade on a curve? Have the Ten Commandments, for all intents and purposes, been removed from many evangelical churches today, replaced with something else? We'll talk about that next week on Issues, Etc. with Dr. Mike Horton. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing throughout the summer here on the program, just go to our website, issuesetc.org. By the way, when you're there, you should make sure to find out more about our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July. The book is by a regular guest here on Issues, Etc., Dr. Gene Edward Veith. It's called Modern Fascism, The Threat to the Judeo-Christian Worldview. Now, this is something that is not just an historical study of this thing called fascism. Dr. Veith is very quick to point out that fascism and its ideas are alive and well today, not only in things like Islamofascism, but in postmodern America as well. You can browse before you buy the book, Modern Fascism, at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. The book is $17.99 plus shipping and handling, or you can call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours and order the book, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. When you call, mention Issues, Etc., and our Book of the Month for July, Modern Fascism, 1-800-325-3040. We're talking about the early church fathers and the Reformation solas, grace, Grace, Faith, Christ, and Scripture Alone. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. There was one thing that you wanted to add to our general discussion of how the fathers are viewed in the church today.
Yeah, I just wanted to stress that every last one of the communions we talked about, whether it's Orthodox or Roman or Lutheran, they all have selective reading of the fathers, and they will all approach them with an emphasis on the things that they happen to find them, where they sound like they're agreeing with their own position.
But that's not to say that it's just every man for himself when it comes to the Father.
Absolutely
whatever you
not.
Can prove can be proven true.
It's one of the great things that we need to be aware of, is because of that, we mustn't simply proof text. And the way that we are discussing this tonight, it's going to be hard to demonstrate that. The temptation is to offer a little snippet from the Father and say, well, see there. The challenge is to go back and read the snippet in its context, read the Father, read much of it. And I will say I am not the least bit afraid to encourage everyone to do this with the confidence that they will come up with the recognition that the fathers have, that the historic Lutheran position is simply in continuity with the ancient church fathers.
So from the very outset, we will find, if one reads the fathers the way that they ought to be read, we will find grace, faith, Christ, and Scripture alone in the Church Fathers.
Overwhelming.
All right, let's start where the Fathers would have us begin. The basis for these truths in Scripture.
Right.
Let's start with grace alone.
Well, the classic scripture for grace alone, of course, is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, a very great popular text for many a Lutheran confirmand. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one could boast.
Faith alone in Holy Scripture, a simple basis there in Holy Scripture.
The best passage for faith alone is to turn to Romans chapter 4, and really the whole chapter is so good, it's hard to pick out just a verse or two, but verses 4 and 5, for example. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due, but to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness.
Okay, before we go on, let's back up to grace alone, if we could.
Sure.
And with its basic Ephesians chapter 2 basis, let's look at the Church Fathers and what they had to say about this, and how what the Church Fathers had to say about grace alone fits and confesses what Scripture says about grace alone.
Sure. Well, I have a long passage that I want to read on this one, and it's the longest one I'm going to read tonight, so I beg the indulgence of our hearers. This is from St. John Chrysostom, the great bishop in the 4th century of... he was bishop at Antioch, and he was also bishop at Constantinople. Listen to these words. Suppose someone should be caught in the act of adultery and the foulest of crimes, and then be thrown into prison. Suppose next that judgment was going to be passed against him, and that he would be condemned. Suppose that just at that moment, a letter should come from the emperor, setting free from any accounting or examination all those detained in the prison. Now, if the prisoner should refuse to take advantage of the pardon, remain obstinate, and choose to be brought to trial to give an account to undergo punishment, he will not be able thereafter to avail himself of the emperor's favor. For when he made himself accountable to the court, examination, and sentence, he chose of his own accord to deprive himself of the imperial gift. This is what happened in the case of the Jews. Look at how it is. All human nature was taken in the foulest evils. All have sinned, says St. Paul. They were locked, as it were, in a prison by the curse of their transgression of the law. The sentence of the judge was going to be passed against them. A letter from the king came down from heaven. Rather, the king himself came without examination, without exacting an account. He set all men free from the chains of their sins. All then who run to Christ are saved by his grace and profit from his gift. But those who wish to find justification from the law will also fall from grace. They will not be able to enjoy the king's loving kindness because they are striving to gain salvation by their own efforts. They will draw down on themselves the curse of the law, because by the works of the law no flesh will find justification.
I noticed in that quotation, that was from Cyprian, is that
correct? No, that was St. John Chrysostom.
St. John Chrysostom, that he readily and very easily uses the verbiage of Scripture itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he's very, one thing we frequently hear about the fathers is they didn't speak forensically.
What do you mean?
They didn't speak in the terms of law, of standing before a judge and having a court. You'll hear this, you know, the court kind of language. Many Eastern Orthodox especially will attribute that to a Western influence in theology. Well, you know, this is the great preacher of Constantinople, and I don't know how you get much more legal language than this. He speaks of a pardon. He speaks of the emperor granting a pardon, coming in person to grant a pardon without examination, without checking anything out. He just says, you are forgiven. Now, that's grace.
One of the things that struck me about that quote that you read there from St. John Chrysostom is how it could well have come from a good, faithful pulpit today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, C.F.W. Walther, in Proper Distinction between Law and Gospel, more or less plagiarizes this passage without crediting Chrysostom. But it's there.
We're talking about the early church fathers and Reformation truths. We're going to be going through some of these quotes, but we're not going to be able to go through all of them that Pastor Whedon has been able to find in preparation for this hour as we talk about grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and Scripture alone in the early church fathers. But you can read these quotes from the early church fathers on our website, issuesetc.org. The website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and you will find these quotes posted there for you to read at your leisure. And especially since we're moving through them rather quickly, I recommend you do that. You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Issues Etc. is a live call-in program. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Call during this break with a question or comment for Pastor Whedon as we talk about these Reformation truths that are not 16th century novelties, but in fact, the faith confessed by the Church from the time of the Apostles all the way through until today. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. All the way to today. The fight continues today. These aren't 16th century novelties. You, by the way, can help us proclaim these reformational truths into the 21st century by joining our Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly donor program. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer, see page 12 of the latest Issues Etc. journal or check out our website, issuesetc.org, under the What's New section. You can support our Christ-centered, cross-focused outreach by also making a credit card donation at 1-800-737-0172. We'll be right back. You've heard the word fascism, but do you know what fascism is? If not, you need our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Modern Fascism, by Dr. Jean Edward Veith. Did fascism die with Hitler and Mussolini? Find out by reading Modern Fascism, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July. You can order Modern Fascism by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. You can also check out the book before you buy it by visiting our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section of the website, you'll find Modern Fascism by Dr. Jean Edward Veith. It's our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, 1-800-325-3040, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with the author of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Modern Fascism, Dr. Jean Edward Veith. Ed, where do you see fascism today?
Well, what we're dealing with right now in the war on terrorism is a war against fascism. Saddam Hussein and his Ba'ath Party that ruled Iraq and that still rules Syria and still has a very big following in the Arab world literally is a fascist party that developed out of the 40s. It's Arab fascism. And Saddam Hussein is exactly in his ideology as well as his his practices in that tradition of Hitler, Mussolini, and others. But the Islamic fascism, you'll see this described, commentators, some of them are using the term Islamofascism, which is a very precise and accurate description of their philosophy. It's an Islamic fascism that seeks to create this perfect Islamic state in this world, and that acknowledges no transcendent moral law to restrict what they're willing to do to people.
So it sounds like you're saying fascism isn't dead.
It's still with us, and it's with us in not only the those overt literal fascism that the terrorists and Saddam Hussein exemplify, but the postmodernist thought that's so common today, the idea that truth is relative, that the truth is a construction of the will, that morality is nothing more than an imposition of power, and all these things that we've dealt with, that can be traced in a direct, literal line back through the fascist philosophers of the 30s and the 20s, and in the origins in the thought of Friedrich Nietzsche, who is an important thinker for both the fascist movement and is very much in vogue in universities today.
Find out more about our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Modern Fascism, The Threat to the Judeo-Christian Worldview by Dr. Jean Edward Veith by going online to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on modern fascism. You can also order the book by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Modern Fascism, 1-800-325-3040. Folks, this is very important. In order for Issues Etc. to continue and to expand its Christ-centered, cross-focused outreach, we need a grassroots effort, now more than ever, from lay people to publicize and promote Issues Etc. in their local congregations. That's where God is doing his thing, Sunday after Sunday, and that is where we need someone who will represent Issues Etc. at the local level. Now, if you're a member of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, one of its congregations, we'd like to hear from you this summer. We're looking for one member of each LCMS congregation to become our official lay representative. Call our resource line if you're interested, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172, or you can also email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's a simple way that you can help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming our Issues Etc. lay representative in your congregation. As I said before, it's more important now than ever. 1-800-737-0172, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're talking about the early church fathers and the Reformation truths, grace, faith, Christ, and Scripture alone. Pastor Will Wheaton, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, is our guest. Feel free to join us with a question or a comment. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. You did this briefly before, but I'd like you again to take us through the basic Bible passage that lays the foundation for faith alone, and then as it is confessed and found in the Church Fathers.
Sure.
Faith alone.
Faith alone. Back to Romans chapter 4, especially these words, verse 4 and 5. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Biblical foundation right there. In the Fathers, one of the more early quotes we have on this is from St. Clement of Rome. Now, St. Clement was a bishop of Rome somewhere around the year 96, 97 A.D. So possibly even it is possible that he knew the apostles.
He's that early.
That early.
Okay.
He writes, "Similarly, we also, who by his will have been called in Christ Jesus, are not justified by ourselves, or by our own wisdom, or understanding, or godliness, nor by such deeds as we've done in holiness of heart, but by that faith through which Almighty God has justified all men since the beginning of time. Glory be to him forever and ever. Amen." That's in his letter to the Corinthians, paragraph 32. And he doesn't use the word alone there, but he excludes everything else except for faith. As you can hear, you know, it's not done by, it's not our wisdom, not our understanding, not our godliness, not the deeds done by us in the holiness of our heart, but by faith, God declares us righteous.
Any other fathers concur?
Yes. St. Basil the Great, in his wonderful homily on the humility, and it's actually just a great homily all by itself, he wrote, "Indeed, this is the perfect and complete glorification of God, when one does not exalt in his own righteousness, but recognizing oneself as lacking true righteousness, to be justified by faith alone in Christ."
Now, he does use the word alone.
He does, sure. Nor is he alone. St. John Chrysostom, same century, he also writes, "They said that he who adhered to faith alone was cursed, but he, Paul, shows that he who adhered to faith alone is blessed." And one more quote from St. John, if I can, another really beautiful one. He says, "Doubt not then, for it is not of works, but of faith, and shun not the righteousness of God, for it is a blessing in two ways, because it is easy, and also because it is open to all men." I like that a lot.
What is he saying there, that last quote?
That it is easy. He's saying the challenge was, well, you know, it's got to be more difficult than that. It just can't be a matter of believing. And he says, oh, no, that's exactly what it is. And open to all men, because God wills through the work of the sharing of the gospel to give the gift of faith to all who hear it.
The third that we're going to deal with, Christ alone. First of all, the biblical foundation in the passage, if you will. And then how it is confessed by the church fathers.
That one is a harder one to come up with a single scripture passage about, because so the scripture is about Christ from start to finish. But the one passage that came into my mind was from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, when Paul says, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." The crucified Christ is the center of all of the apostles' preaching, and therefore the center of the New Testament witness, and therefore also the center of the Old Testament witness of the Christ.
Does that hold true, then, for the church fathers that come after the apostles?
Yes, indeed. St. Cyril of Jerusalem, another 4th century father, who was present at the Council of Nicaea, at the Council of Constantinople, 381, where the Nicene Creed was finished, he wrote these words. He said, "Take therefore first as an indestructible foundation the cross, and build on it all of the articles of the faith." When I first read that, I thought Luther said that. he says, Luther's great statement is, the cross alone is our theology. And here we hear in St. Cyril the exact same thought. The cross is the heart and center of it all. We build out from the crucified Christ. All the articles of faith are built upon that foundation.
Now, this is very important, because I think Christians today often misunderstand that Reformation truth, Christ alone. As though if you've got a sermon that mentions Christ or talks about, say, the teachings of Christ or the example of Christ, that you are keeping with the truth held by Scripture and the church throughout history of Christ alone. Make the distinction between that misconception and what is meant by Scripture and the church fathers when they talk about Christ alone.
When they talk about Christ alone, they're asking the question, so why did the Son of God have to die for that? Whenever we look at any passage of Scripture, it's there to give us a testimony to why the Son of God died and rose again. That's what it's there for. Saint Irenaeus, I didn't get a chance to look up the exact quote here, but it's a beautiful thing. He uses an analogy where he says, Scripture is like the mosaic of a great king. But people who don't have the key to the mosaic, they take the little bits of the mosaic and they arrange it into a picture of a fox. And they say, well, it's true because it's there. And the answer is, well, look, you know, you may have used all the parts, but you didn't put the parts together in the way the parts were meant to be put together. The scripture is there to testify to the crucified Christ. I really would challenge, especially our evangelical listeners, to take to heart the words of St. Paul in that 1 Corinthians 2 passage. He said, I was determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I remember once having a member who challenged me on that and said, well, you know, that's got to be some sort of a huge hyperbole because, I mean, it just can't all be about the crucified Christ. I mean, what about the works we do? So you want to say, oh, wait a minute, it is all about the crucified Christ. And the works that flow from being connected to the crucified Christ by faith are only acceptable to God because he forgives them, which brings us right back to the cross.
Speaking of Christ alone, folks, the best callers tonight in our conversation on the early church fathers and the Reformation truths with a question or a comment for Pastor Will Wheaton will receive Dr. Rod Rosenblatt's booklet called Christ Alone. Our call-in number is 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Scripture alone.
Okay, I got more Christ alone.
Okay, then, so time will permit, give us another quote from the Church Fathers on Christ alone.
Yeah, I wanted to give you the great one from... two. It's going to be hard to choose. All right. From St. Mark the Ascetic, who is a 5th century father, he writes, Christ is master by virtue of his own essence and master by virtue of his incarnate life. He creates man from nothing and through his own blood redeems him when dead in sin. And to those who believe in him, he has given grace. When Scripture says, he will reward every man according to his works. Do not imagine that works themselves merit either hell or the kingdom. On the contrary, Christ rewards each man according to whether his works are done with faith or without faith in himself. He is not a dealer bound by contract, but our creator and redeemer.
And I wish we had more time for more quotes just like that.
Isn't that awesome?
Alone.
Yeah, I got to keep going.
Scripture alone. Where in Scripture do we find this truth clearly taught? And what do the Church Fathers have to say about Scripture alone?
Well, when we say Scripture alone, the first question is, what do we mean by that? I think the meaning of Scripture alone, and it can be understood incorrectly, I think when it's understood correctly, then we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and looking at verses 14, well, you know, that whole section there from 14 onward, but especially maybe picking up verse 15, where Paul, writing to Timothy, says, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. When the ancient church fathers confessed what we would call the sola scriptura, they were saying that Scripture is sufficient to give us saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
So it's not just me and my Bible.
No.
It's not just the Bible is the only thing that I need, and I can just work through it on my own and come up with everything I need to know.
Right, right. The Scriptures themselves actually say of the church, not of Scripture, but of the church, that she is the pillar and ground of the faith.
What does that mean?
That is before I answer that question, I wanted to add there's a second thought. It was St. Irenaeus that said that it is the Scripture which is the pillar and ground of the faith. If I could put it that way, it is tradition which tells us that Scripture is the foundation of the truth. In other words, Scripture directs us to the church, and the church, in her faithful witness, directs us right back to the Scriptures. It is a circle, a hermeneutical, an interpretive circle that you really can't get out of. The church directs us to the Scriptures directs us back to the church. And the way that works is this wonderful thing called the regula fidei, which we probably don't have time to go into tonight, but the idea of that there is an authoritative interpretation of the Scriptures that lives in the church that we call the creed.
So are you saying, with only 30 seconds, no more, that Martin Luther didn't invent the idea of Scripture alone?
No, he did not. He did not. He was well within the stream of Catholic tradition to appeal to Scripture alone.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. I'd love to hear from some of you, our Roman Catholic or our Eastern Orthodox listeners, because I know that the Fathers are near and dear to your hearts. 1-800-730-2727. It's Sunday evening, July the 11th. We are coming to you live. 1-800-730-2727, talking with Pastor Will Wheaton about the early church fathers and Reformation truths, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. We just dealt with Scripture alone. When we come back, we'll get a quote from the early church fathers, maybe one or two, on Scripture alone as well. Stay with us.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues, Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues, Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues, Etc. is looking for one member from each Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation to become our official lay representative. Responsibilities simply involve promotion of Issues, Etc. in your local church. Now, if you're interested, leave your name, phone number, and mailing address, and your congregation's name, city and state, on our automated resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Folks, you aren't going to be able to hear the next hour's conversation on the early church fathers and Reformation truths on your local radio station. You'll only be able to hear that on the Internet, but you can get a free tape of this hour and the next hour's Internet-only broadcast on this subject. All you have to do is contact the local Lutheran church that sponsors Issues, Etc. for you, and they'll send you a free cassette recording of both hours. Get a pen and a piece of paper ready, because you should hear an announcement with a phone number and a mailing address for that sponsor right after the Issues, Etc. close theme. We had the scriptural foundation for Scripture alone before the break. What do the church fathers have to say by way of Scripture alone?
Well, I really have two quotes especially that I wanted to share. The first one is a very brief comment by St. Athanasius in his work Against the Heathen, and he simply says that the holy and inspired Scriptures are fully sufficient for the proclamation of the truth. So he grants the sufficiency of the Scriptures, which is what I believe the intent of the sola scriptura is there for. However, there's also, two more, okay? From St. Gregory of Nyssa, he challenged his opponents and he said, "Let the inspired Scriptures be our umpire. The vote of truth will be given to those whose dogmas are found to agree with the divine words." Pretty clear appeal there, isn't it? Similarly, the beautiful words of St. Cyril of Jerusalem, again, in his Catechetical Lectures, number 4, he writes, "For concerning the divine and holy mysteries of the faith, not even a casual statement must be delivered without the Holy Scriptures, nor must we be drawn aside by mere plausibility and artifices of speech. Even to me, who tell you these things, give not absolute credence, unless you receive the proof of the things which I announce from the divine Scriptures. For this salvation which we believe depends not on ingenious reasoning, but on demonstration of the Holy Scriptures."
We have listeners waiting with questions and comments. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Let's begin with Rana, who listens in Palo Alto, California, on KFAX. Rana, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much. I'm Roman Catholic, and it's an uphill battle for me because I do believe in sola scriptura. And it's exciting for me to hear the quotes from St. Basil the Great and St. Cyprian. My question is, exactly who are the church fathers? And the reason why I'm asking this is because they have not been near and dear to my heart. I have a book, little booklet called About the Mass, and it talks about the priesthood. It calls them angels on earth, and it talks about church fathers like Cassian, who says the priest is inferior to God alone. Pope Innocent III, he's inferior to God but superior to man. St. Alphonsus, I mean, unless these are just misquotes, but, you know, I mean, where do I find out where the normal ones are, like St. Basil and St. Cyprian's?
Rana, thank you very much for both of those questions. First of all, who are they? And then, what do you do when you come up with church fathers who say the kind of things that
she
just said?
Yeah, who do a blooper?
Yes.
When they do a blooper, we do what Noah's sons did for their father. We, you know, we walk back into the tent and cover over their nakedness. We don't expose it and make fun of it. We say, you know, well, you know, he got that one wrong, and we move on.
And we disregard.
And we disregard it.
Okay.
Now, who are they? You almost have a there were several of them in the very end of the first century and into the second century. We think of Clement that I mentioned earlier. We think of St. Polycarp, Irenaeus, Ignatius. These were the great early fathers. And then, of course, Justin Martyr, another one. And then into the fourth century, though, is when we have the real flowering of the fathers. And they almost were all alive at the same time. They overlapped each other. And there are the big names are the Cappadocians, Basil, Gregory Nazianzus, and Gregory of Nyssa. All three of those well worth the reading. Cyril of Jerusalem, especially for his catechetical lectures. The century before we had Cyprian in Carthage. And then St. Augustine, St. Ambrose, St. Hilary. These are all writers of the, you know, most of them were ended up being bishops of local churches around the Mediterranean world in that century. It was a remarkable century for theological endeavor.
Back to the phones for one quick phone call as our conversation winds down this first hour with Pastor Will Whedon. Velma is calling from St. Louis, listening on KSIV. Velma, welcome.
Thank you. Enjoying your show every Sunday evening. I wanted to ask a question. If the church fathers believed in sola scriptura, and now we, in this age that we're in now, so many Catholics do believe in works and not faith alone, where and how did it get to the distinction go wrong?
It's a big question, Velma. Thank you very much. With 1 minute to lay it out, because we do have other questions to ramp up our hour.
I think the big thing that we always have to remember is what we in Lutheranism call the opinio legis, the idea that we are saved by what we do is something that is innate to all people. It is you don't have to try to teach anyone that. We all think that by nature. It is the thought by grace that is just beyond our normal way of thinking, that we are saved by the act of another person and not by our own moral improvement. And I think that alone accounts for the fact why it's hard to get a hold of it, even though the church fathers are beautiful and clear in their testimony to salvation by grace alone through faith alone.
Very briefly, I think it's popular among Christians to think about the farther you go back in history, the more primitive the thinking and the theology of Christians become. And they even think of the apostles as kind of theological primitives. Are the church fathers theologically primitive?
Anyone who thinks that, I would only invite them to spend some time reading them. Especially, you know, I think of the writings of an Irenaeus, which just blow your mind when you start trying to work your way through them, or an Augustine or a Hilary. They really do exhibit an incredible complexity of thought that is it's beautiful because it's built on the scriptures. And let's make that really clear. The thing that makes the church fathers great is that they were steeped in the Holy Scriptures, and they hand us the Holy Scriptures, and they are constantly witnessing to Christ from those scriptures. That is what we love about them.
Finally, with 2 minutes, how important are the writings of these early church fathers to you? Personally,
to me personally, they are enormously important, and I wouldn't know how to begin to estimate their worth in my preaching as a pastor. I learned so much from them about how to preach Christ, so much about how to understand the scriptures. The more that I've read them, the more that I've loved them, and let's also be very clear that when we're talking about the fathers, we're talking about a continuum that reaches up into the present. And so, you know, the Lutheran fathers I hold the same way as the ancient fathers. In fact, the great thing about the Lutheran fathers is that they're always pointing us back to the ancient fathers.
What is the danger of the church disconnecting, divorcing itself from the teachings of the church fathers?
I think we'll go to the statement of Hermann Zassa, who says that a church without the fathers is just a sect. It becomes disconnected from the Church Catholic, from the one church which Christ founded.
Pastor Will Whedon, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can read these quotes. We have not been able to go through many of them, but we've gone through the best. You can read the others as well on our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find them under the What's New section. I do recommend that you go and read them, and that you read the fathers themselves, too. Is there going to be some sifting? Of course there will be, but you will find these truths, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, all over them. Issuesetc.org, under the What's New section, you'll find these quotes. We're coming to you live this Sunday night. It's July the 11th. We'll be continuing to take your phone calls in the next hour on the early church fathers and Reformation truths. Here's the number, 1-800-730-2727. We are going to give away Dr. Rod Rosenblatt's booklet, Christ Alone, and a 10-hour tape series with Pastor Will Whedon on the historic liturgy to the best callers with a question or a comment on the issue of early church fathers and Reformation solas. 1-800-730-2727, or you can post a question or a comment on the Issues Etc. forum. It's right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. You'll find the forum there. Be sure to tune in live in this next hour to hear the next hour of our conversation. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the worldwide KFUO logo. You can listen there, issuesetc.org. And our call-in number, we'll be taking your phone calls right away in the next hour, 1-800-730-2727. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. If you get a busy signal, please keep trying, because we'll be freeing up those phone lines when we come back in the next hour. They are steeped in Scripture. I guess I would think of the church fathers as sponges who, when they heard the preaching of Christ and Him crucified, soaked it up. It became really the foundation for what they taught. And we are able to go back and wring them out. And what comes out? What they are steeped in, what they are soaked in. The Word of God and the Word of Christ and Him crucified. Why would we ignore any witness, no matter how ancient, or, for that matter, modern, who speaks faithfully and witnesses to that which Scripture speaks of so clearly? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They stand there in ancient times testifying to the very same thing that the church ought to have as the center of its preaching and its practice and its worship and its life, that is the center of every Christian's life, the crucified and risen Savior, Jesus. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.